It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Yeah, all right. Hello, everybody. This is Bill Carnes. I'm your host of the Second Amendment Radio Show. We like to shorten that down to 2A Radio. You can always go online and see what's happening at 2aradio.com. I want to open today by talking about a story out of New Jersey, New Jersey is not known as a gun-friendly state. Well, the police have arrested a 7-year-old child for a toy gun. This is according to NBC 10. New Jersey police have arrested a 7-year-old for wielding a Nerf-style toy dart gun in elementary school. Hamilton, New Jersey police began an investigation into suspicious activity after being alerted by school officials. Police then arrested the child and charged him with him or her, we don't know who it was, with possessing an imitation firearm in or on an educational institution, a misdemeanor charge. How's that, you ask? Well, let's look at the relevant Garden State statute, starting with 2C39-1. Definition of a firearm means any handgun, rifle, shotgun, machine gun, automatic or semi-automatic rifle, or any gun, device, or instrument in the nature of a weapon from which may be fired or ejected any solid projectile, ball, slug, pellet, missile, or bullet, or any gas, vapor, or other noxious thing, by means of a cartridge or shell, or by the action of an explosive or igniting of flammable or explosive substances. It shall also include, without limitation, any firearm which is in the nature of an air gun, spring gun, or pistol, or other weapon of a similar nature, in which the propelling force is a spring, elastic band, carbon dioxide, compressed or other gas or vapor, air or compressed air, or is ignited by compressed air and ejected a bullet or similar missile smaller than 3/8 of an inch in diameter with sufficient force to injure a person. Nice. That's two sentences, by the way. By the above definition, a fart could be considered a firearm if its igniter used it to cause someone to avert their attention, slip, and harm themselves. More realistically, the above language includes air guns, paintball guns, airsoft guns, and toy dart guns. It appears the great state of New Jersey has a thing against firearms, whether they're firearms or not. Be that as it may, why did the school call the cops to have one of their own students victimized by overzealous cops? Why fear just gripped these grown-ups, these professionals, so tightly that they felt the need to, for armed, soldierish cops of the local municipality? The tipping point was the child fired the toy gun. Now, I'm guessing the child was charged under New Jersey Section 2C39-1, which considers an imitation firearm an object or device reasonably capable of being mistaken for a firearm. The state must also prove intent. In short, the 7-year-old had to intend to have others make the Nerf-style gun out for a real firearm. That's going to be one tough one to sell any jury, even in New Jersey. So what do we have here? We have a school that calls the police to involve minor disciplinary problems with students. Police that arrest 7-year-old children and charge them for bringing a toy to school. A DA reasoned that it would be proper to prosecute a child for bringing a toy gun to school. Of course, it's reported that no one was hurt in the incident. Only the rule of law, common sense, simple human compassion, And now something that this child, when they grow older, is probably going to need some professional assistance for. Mommy, why did they arrest me? Daddy, why did they arrest me? A 7-year-old. What's that make it? Somebody who's second grade? Is that right? First grade. Is it first grade when you're 7 years old? Yeah, I think you'd be in first grade. They arrested a kid in their first year of actual school for bringing a toy Nerf gun to school. Now, in my day, we brought all kinds of garbage to school. We even brought cap guns to school. And all of it happened was, if they didn't like it, if you're getting too rambunctious, they'd say, give it to me, we're going to put it in the office, and you can take it home with you. This is a toy Nerf gun, as described by this article, meaning that it shoots a piece of foam from a gun designed to launch a piece of foam, sufficient enough to injure another person. I don't think so. I don't think if you held somebody's great big bulging eye open and shot them in the eye with the Nerf thing, it could be even considered enough injury to have actually injured another person. You're serious about this. The people at the school behind this should all be fired. The cops who actually decided to charge the kid should be fired. Their supervisor, if their supervisor was contacted and approved it, should be fired. The DA, if the DA decides to prosecute it, should be fired. Everybody involved in this should be fired. Because common sense was out the window. Here's the thing. Common sense is no longer common. It's now uncommon sense. There's just not very much of it out there. And when we have a school that's got a kid, a little kid, a tiny little kid, might not even be able to ride a bicycle without training wheels yet, getting arrested for bringing a toy Nerf gun to school. Now, by that definition, wouldn't you think the retailer of that toy Nerf gun would need to have a firearms license in order to sell it? If it's considered a firearm by state law, wouldn't the state naturally otherwise regulate the sale of said firearm or insist that the federal government through the ATF require that sales or that salesperson or the company that sold it or the retail outlet in which it was purchased have a federal firearms license? Now we're getting just plain stupid. And unfortunately, people who are anti-gun are just plain stupid. There's a difference between ignorance and stupid. Ignorance can be fixed. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge and understanding. And a lot of anti-gunners are just ignorant. They just don't know anything about guns, so they spout off at the mouth. Some people like this, cops know about guns, at least a little bit. They got to carry them, whether they know how to use them or not. That's just plain stupid. And who wants to have somebody who's stupid out patrolling the streets with a real gun? Stupidity and guns don't mix. It's part of the reason they should be fired. Stay tuned. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. Let's see. A senator is calling on the ATF, calling them out on allegations that the agency is allowing guns into Mexico. Well, we know that the State Department has been allowing continued sales of the gun sales, guns, weapons, ammunition, grenades, rocket launchers that the State Department is brokering, still continuing into Mexico, and those guns still end up through all the corruption in Mexico, a lot of those ending up in the hands of the cartels. Well, the BATFE, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, again, explosives, the agency tasked with keeping U.S. guns from being smuggled into Mexico, has come under fire for allegedly allowing firearms to cross the Mexican border. Now, just I think it was last Friday, Senator Charles Grassley, I guess two Fridays ago, Republican out of Iowa, sent a letter to the ATF stating that his office had received numerous allegations that the ATF sanctioned the sale of hundreds of assault weapons to suspected straw purchasers who then allegedly transported these weapons throughout the Southwest, across the Southwest border area and into Mexico. Grassley asked the ATF officials to meet with his staff to discuss the matter, noting that, quote, there are serious concerns that the ATF may have become careless, if not negligent, in implementing the gunrunner strategy. Now, gunrunner is the name of the ATF operation to keep guns from entering Mexico, Operation Gunrunner. On Monday, a week ago Monday, a concerned Grassley sent a follow-up letter, writing that while ATF had not yet responded to his request for a meeting, one of the whistleblowers that Grassley's office had been dealing with, a current ATF employee, was allegedly accused of misconduct by his boss for talking with Senate staffers. Note that the letter that he sent was sent under what is considered whistleblower protection. And Senator Grassley's press secretary, Beth Levine, confirmed that the letters sent by the employee of ATF were genuine. ATF spokeswoman Janice Kemp referred to questions from FoxNews.com to spokesman Drew Wade and Scott Thomason, who did not respond to calls or emails from FoxNews.com the following morning last Tuesday. So I'm going to refer your questions to these guys, but they don't answer their phones or emails. A former ATF agent told FoxNews.com on condition of anonymity that ATF headquarters allowed guns to cross the border for the reason that ATF wanted to glean more intelligence about who would come to possess the guns and what regions of the country they would end up in, as if they're able to continue to track the guns in Old Mexico. Now, additionally, Dick DeGaren, attorney for a Texas gun store by the name of Carter Country, said that the ATF asked the store to sell the guns to even those they thought were going to smuggle them into Mexico so that ATF could track where the guns went. How are they going to track these guns? Did they put trackers in them? Quote, they were told to go through with the sales of three or more assault rifles at the same time. They went through with these sales because the ATF told them to go through with the sales. And that was from the attorney of the gun store, adding that the store reported all suspicious sales to the ATF. Federal investigators are known to use such techniques in drug trafficking investigations. Quote, controlled delivery is an investigative technique that allows specific consignments of illegal drugs or other controlled substances to pass through the territory of one or more states with the objective of identifying not only the street dealers, but the individuals controlling the drug trade network, according to a State Department website. Now, who cares who the street-level dealers are? You need to get them before they get to them. However, ATF has not admitted to using that technique for gun trafficking investigations. While ATF did not respond to requests for comments from FoxNews.com, Mexican newspaper El Diario El Paso reported the week before that ATF spokesman Scott Thomason had told them, quote, we do not permit the exit of arms to Mexico. Okay. Grassley's first letter to the ATF hinted that the potential problems with allowing firearms to cross borders, writing in that two of the weapons that the ATF allegedly sanctioned to be sold to straw purchasers were sold to Mexican gangs and, quote, were allegedly used in a firefight on December 14th, 2010 against Customs and Border Protection agent, killing CBP agent Brian Terry. Now, this information's been out there for weeks, that one of the guns used was bought. The ATF could have intervened, and they failed to. Now, gun rights bloggers have speculated that the reason for allowing the gun into Mexico was to pad statistics on the number of guns crossing the borders, the suspicion being that a higher number would make the ATF's mission in preventing the guns from crossing seem all that more urgent. Of course, the government, through the ATF, conspiring to allow illicit behavior to continue so that they can tweak the numbers and put it out there that, oh, wow, we here in America are responsible for the gun violence in Mexico, so we need to have gun control here in our country just to prevent violence in Mexico. Really. The former ATF spokesman, who spoke with FoxNews.com, said that he had no reason to think that padding the statistics was a motivation. See, Fox News previously reported that an often quoted statistic that 90% of guns used in Mexico crimes came from the U.S. was, in fact, a total lie. Only 17% of the guns found at Mexican crime scenes have actually been traced to the U.S. The vast majority of those have come through the State Department brokered authorized sales from our country into Mexico and other nations that then, through their own corruption, sell them off into Mexico. They end up in the hands of the drug cartels. The U.S. State Department brokers these deals, everyone. Okay? None of the claims about the ATF allowing guns to cross the border have been conclusively proven, but Senator Grassley has called for the ATF to be more transparent to allow the truth to come out. Well, that wouldn't serve the purpose of the Obama regime. Quote, this is exactly the wrong sort of reaction for the ATF, Grassley's second letter reads. Rather than focusing on retaliating against whistleblowers, the ATF's sole focus should be on finding and disclosing the truth as soon as possible. You know, the real problem with this whole thing, this whole deal, is that we have American agents, representatives of the government, working to undermine the American people, undermine the Constitution of the United States, violating their oath of office, all to the behest of trying to manipulate and make guns look so bad that we need to have some sort of a gun control when it's simply not the fact. The fact is that armed American citizens is a good thing. And that somebody has the ideology that that shouldn't be the case. Not that the facts show differently, but the ideology. They want to trade American ideals into their ideology. And they will lie, scheme, and violate the law, violate the Constitution, and conspiracy with hundreds of others, if not thousands of others, to accomplish their goal that the myth of guns is something other than what it really is. This is the sort of thing that we're facing. This is the sort of thing we need to know. Look, guns in the hands of honest, law-abiding citizens is what keeps this country strong. It helps prevent crime, and will also help keep the government in check from overrunning us with things like overwhelming health care. Stage one of government control. Stay tuned, guys. There is plenty more to come. And we're going to talk about an opposing view of guns and firearm control, how it doesn't work, by Eric Pratt, the son of Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America, right after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
Attention all long-range precision riflemen and long-distance shooting hunters. Come and join other like-minded long-range riflemen this April for the Bill Carnes 2A Radio Precision Rifle Course being held just outside Las Vegas, Nevada. This is your chance to put your gear to the test and perfect your long-range rifle shooting skills. Think of it as Sniper 101. We'll be collecting repeatable data from 100 yards out to 1,000 yards and beyond. Imagine having confirmed repeatable data for your rifle and the round you choose in 50-yard increments out to the furthest limit of your trajectories. You'll learn the secrets of the proper way to clean and maintain your precision rifle for extended life and accuracy well beyond your expectations. You'll also have the opportunity to shoot a 50-caliber sniper rifle and hit a target at 1 mile. To find out more, go to victoryshoot.org. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Visit victoryshoot.org today. That's victoryshoot.org.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
And welcome back for the break. So now we're going to read to you a piece by Eric Pratt, son of Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, entitled Opposing View on Guns, Firearm Control Doesn't Work. In the wake of the weekend's tragic shooting in Arizona, keep in mind this is a few weeks old, USA Today is once again bent on blaming millions of law-abiding gun owners for the actions of one depraved individual. Among other things, the editorial board wants to ban self-defense magazines that hold extra ammunition. While such a ban would not stop thugs like Jared Loeffner from getting them, it would impact good Americans who don't like breaking the law. The problem is, a magazine that holds lots of ammunition is exactly what one needs when the police are not around and you are faced with mob violence. This was the situation during the 1992 Los Angeles riots. Korean merchants used firearms with large magazines to defend themselves against violent looters, and it was their stores that were left standing while other stores around them burned to the ground. We're being told now that more gun control is needed. Really? Let's not forget that Loeffner bought his firearm from a gun store and submitted to a background check. He had a clean record. The background check was supposed to save us from gun violence. But no amount of gun control will stop people like Loeffner from getting guns. So what can be done? Well, Representative Heath Shuler, Democrat out of North Carolina, put his finger on the solution. He has a concealed carry permit, but confesses he had to stop carrying his firearm last year. Quote, now I know I need to have my gun on me, Shuler said. Is it too simplistic an answer? Consider that in 2007, a gunman entered the New Life Church in Colorado Springs, intending to perpetrate one of the greatest massacres in U.S. history. He was armed with 1,000 rounds of ammunition. Unfortunately for him, he was able to kill only 2 people. The reason? He was met by a woman with a gun. Jeanne Assam, is a concealed carry permit holder, and she used her firearm to fatally wound the gunman, thus saving hundreds of lives at this church. The lesson? Gun control never stops armed criminals. Law-abiding citizens with guns do. Couldn't agree with you more, Eric. That is by far the same mantra we've been crowing about right here on 2A Radio for a long time. Now, also in the wake of the shooting in Tucson a few weeks ago, a grocery store in Des Moines, Iowa, has decided to come out with something. Let's see, less than a week after the U.S. Congresswoman in Tucson was critically wounded in a shooting outside of an Arizona supermarket, a grocery store chain in Iowa has posted signs on its front windows banning firearms from its stores. Officials from Dahl's Foods, Dahl's Foods, which operates a dozen major grocery stores in the Des Moines metro area, told WHO-TV that the ban will make stores safer for shoppers and employees, especially after a new state law that makes it easier for Iowans to obtain concealed carry permits has gone into effect. They believe it's going to make the stores safer. Okay. The only way to make the store safer would be if everyone followed that rule. Would you agree? Because if one person violates that rule one time and they are coupled by having nefarious purposes, the store is far less safe because everyone else in there who's following the signs and following the rules of Dahl's Foods will be unarmed, therefore gunned down. So does that make them safer? No. Are the bad guys with nefarious intentions going to follow the rules? I was going to go in there and shoot the place up, but it says no guns allowed. Rats. Now they got to turn around, hang their head, and walk away and go home, all dejected. Or go find themselves a store that doesn't have such a sign and try to shoot it up. Really. Many Iowans, however, are opposed to telling customers to leave their guns in the parking lot. Jim Bricker, a concealed carry permit owner from Stratford, Iowa, told WND he's shopped at Dahl's a few times, but the ban makes him less likely to go again. Stopping law-abiding gun owners from carrying weapons, he says, will only make the stores more dangerous. Duh. Quote, I think it's a terrible idea, he says, because if someone has in their head to go in and rob a place, they're going to do it. If permit holders are forbidden from carrying firearms in that store, Criminals just have free rein to do anything they want. That's right. Because the folks over at Dolls didn't put themselves into the mind of a would-be criminal, which is the only way you can actually try to outthink them or figure out what they're going to do. Let me see. I want to rob a grocery store. Why? There's a lot of money. It's a lot of cash. A lot of people are in there. It's a pretty lucrative place to go if I can control the people. What's the best way to control them? Well, make sure they don't have guns. Let's rob Dolls. That's what goes through a criminal's brain. And evidently not a single person in Dolls' management team that came up with this policy ever thought to think that way. Now, on WHO Radio, Des Moines' largest talk station, news of the ban lit up the telephone lines. Here's a quote. At first, the callers were all ready to storm the produce department, declaring, "We're never going to shop there again," said Jan Mickelson, who hosts the morning talk show on WHO. "They're politicized. They're ready to pounce." But this has happened before, Mickelson told WND. Another grocery store did this too. They got feedback and said, "Oops, we didn't know," and changed the policy. I think Dolls will do the same thing eventually once the callers calm down. A lot said they would write a nice letter, go talk to the management types, and so on. "I just hate to see the local company shoot themselves in the foot for no good reason," he continued. "They say it's about safety. It's silly. Iowans don't buy that. They're not protecting against the wrong people. The guy who called in and said, 'Hey, if only I'd have known it was that easy. I had a relative who was shot in his store recently. If he'd only known that signs kept people safe, he could have put up a sign and avoided the whole thing.' It's just silly logic," Mickelson concluded, or non-logic. Now, on January 1st, a new law went into effect in Iowa that limits the reasons a concealed carry applicant can be rejected to violent convictions, mental illness, and a few other specific grounds. Prior to the law taking effect, county sheriffs could reject applicants for almost any reason, almost no reason at all. By January 3rd, United Press International reports applications for concealed carry permits in Iowa had skyrocketed, especially in Des Moines' Polk County, where as many people applied in one day as typically apply in a month. On January 8th, however, worries about firearms rose to the national stage when Jared Loughner shot all the people in Tucson. Dolls Foods refused multiple requests for comments on the story. Imagine that. Yeah, we want to ban guns in our stores, and we're not going to comment about it. We're going to close our... La, la, da, da, da. I can't hear you. I can... La, la, da, 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 la. Good job. So if you happen to be in the Des Moines, Iowa area, and you tend to buy groceries, I wouldn't shop at Dolls. Not me. Anybody that is anti-gun and posts signs that they are anti-gun, what they are is their big government. They could care less about you. What they don't want lawsuits against them for you being able to protect themselves. You being dead and not being able to protect yourself is much more economically viable to them through any potential lawsuits than you shooting the bad guy and someone else suing because they didn't ban you from having a gun. This goes back to the whole thing, guys, where we've had a discussion before. Do property rights of property owners and property leasors trump your God-given, constitutionally protected, unalienable rights to self-protection? I would think not. Some police departments do, and they will actually honor it as a trespass violation. Stay tuned. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now, Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
And welcome back. Today is supposed to be the day where Congress brings up the matter of whether or not to renew and extend the Patriot Act. Of course, the Patriot Act is much like other nefarious names of different bills. It really is not patriotic at all. It has allowed the federal government to abuse constitutional restraints and abuse their power and authority to spy on Americans, eavesdrop, all kinds of wonderful things. Gives them all sorts of emergency powers, and it sunsets. Every couple of years, it sunsets. So what they do is they have to vote to renew it. This late in the day, I have yet heard if they've actually voted on it or not. So, if you have a chance, being this late in the day, if they haven't heard it yet, get a hold of the switchboard in D.C. I announced a number last week sometime. I don't have it in front of me right now, unfortunately. I should. But get a hold of your senators and representatives. Let them know. Do not support the Patriot Act. You know, we have a number of Tea Party candidates, especially in the House, and a couple of things that they are supposed to accomplish as Tea Party candidates is to work to allow the Patriot Act to sunset and never come around again, to not support it and do their best to get others on the same non-supporting bandwagon. The other thing is fiscal responsibility, such as in the House, to not allow to raise the debt ceiling for the federal government. You know, I sat in for Dave Champion a couple of weeks ago, and next time I sit in on Dave's show, I need to correct this. But what I had done is I had described what $1 trillion is. And what I had said was, if you counted every second that you were alive when you were 32 years old, you'd have lived about 1 trillion seconds. And I was absolutely wrong. Just to give an idea of what 1 trillion is, like, wow, that's 1 trillion? I'd be 32 years old, I've lived 1 trillion seconds. I was wrong. I was drastically wrong, because a listener sent me an email and said, you know, I think you missed one comma and a set of three zeros. Because 32 years, roughly 32 years, is 1 billion seconds. 1 trillion is 1,000 times longer than that, which means 1 trillion seconds, as they tick away, takes nearly 32,000 years. Mankind hasn't been on Earth for even 2 trillion seconds. We're $14.3 trillion in the hole. If you got $1 every second you were alive, you would probably die with about $2.5 billion. We are many thousands of times further in the hole than that. $14.3 trillion in the hole. That's 32,000 times 14.3. I'm not even going to do that number in my head. That's somewhere around 500,000 years. 500,000 years worth of seconds. 14.3 trillion seconds take about 500,000 years or so to complete. Can you imagine? That's how much money we're in the hole. Every second. Dollar, 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 and so on. for 500,000 years, roughly, you'd have how much money we're in the hole. Imagine how much interest would accrue in 500,000 years. Can you imagine? Anyhow, we're not supposed to be raising the debt ceiling any longer. Some people just have absolutely no... It's hard to grasp the money that the federal government just pisses away. Just lets bleed away. And here's Obama that stands up in the State of the Union address and says, I would like to cut $100 million from the budget. Okay. Let's say that we spend $3,000 a month on bills. Utilities, food, groceries, gasoline. It costs us $3,000 a month to live. If we were going to trim the same percentage from our budget monthly, our $3,000 monthly budget, we'd have to trim it back to about $2,996.40. We have to trim back about $3.70 from our $3,000 a month in effort to save the same percentage of trimming $100 million off of the federal budget. $100 million is a huge number, but you don't seem to realize. Most people have no idea. They cannot grasp how much money the federal government spends every second. It's something like $12.7 million per second, per minute, something like that. I forget the numbers. I ran them months ago. We spend some $75 million per hour in interest on the national debt. So if Obama wants to trim $100 million, that's about an hour and 20 minutes worth of interest on the national debt. That's not tough to trim. Let's see, if we're living at $3,000 a month, and we wanted to cut that back, say, $2,400 a month, well, now we're talking about 20% of our actual monthly expenditures. That's something to write home about. If we can cut from $3,000 a month down to $2,400, maybe $2,500 a month, that is some actual savings. When you start getting into double digits, you start making a difference. If we get the federal government to stop wasting money, just the waste, we'd still get everything done, but the waste was gone. We could operate on about 40 to 50% of what we operate on now. When it comes to the charitable organization, the charitable government groups, the welfare and the Medicare and the Medicaid, the Congressional Budget Office has come back and told us on several occasions that 95% or more of the money that goes into these organizations gets chewed up in administrative fees and costs and able to operate. Only about 5% of the money that goes into these organizations actually gets used by the end user. Could you imagine being so miserably unproductive and unaccountable as to allow that? The federal government does it. Why? Because they regulate themselves, guys. When the House of Representatives allows the federal government, the Treasury, to borrow and borrow and borrow billions, hundreds of billions, trillions at a time from the Federal Reserve, and people can't even wrap their mind around $1 trillion. Many countries, their entire gross national product and everything that they have aren't worth $1 trillion. The United States could literally buy most countries around the world and build new countries for $1 trillion if it was actually run by a business, not by the government with their 95% waste. You can't even imagine the amount of money that's been trickled away. Keep this in mind. Something like 86 billion seconds ago, Jesus Christ was born. And that's not even getting close to the 1 trillion seconds that it would take at 32,000 years to account for a dollar for every second of your life. That's how you relate money. Jesus Christ would have been born at a dollar per second, something like $86 billion ago. You getting an idea? The ancient pharaohs aren't so ancient anymore. They're about 200 billion seconds ago. Still, we're only one-fifth of the way to 1 trillion. That's the type of money we're talking about. Anyhow, the House needs to act to keep the spending from going any higher. We need to pay our bills first before we just start flagrantly throwing money out there. The House and the Senate, both especially backed by the Tea Partiers, must not allow the Patriot Act to continue. It must be stopped. Give a call to your representatives and your senators and let them know. The Patriot Act is very unpatriotic. It violates the Constitution. It violates our rights. It violates our rights to privacy at the hands of the government. It needs to not be extended. It needs to stop and be stopped now. Vote against it, not for it. I'm a registered constituent, and that's my piece. You represent me, and there it goes. Thanks for staying tuned, guys. We'll be back tomorrow.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very close as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com.